This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, are they equal, those who know and those who do not know? Indeed, exclusively, those who have intellect, those who have knowledge, will know the difference. Last week, I talked about the five categories of community investment. These are the five categories I think, as Muslims, we should be spending the majority of our time investing in. And I talked about the five categories being educational, mentorship, outreach, financial centralization, and advocacy. And I'm going to talk about each and every one of them throughout the next number of weeks and try to break them down a little bit and explain maybe why I think that they are very important and what evidence I have to support that. At the same time, maybe what plan we can have moving forward to make sure that we invest properly in them. I'm going to start with the easiest and, in my opinion, by far the most important of all. Out of the five, I think this one is definitely the most important. I think it's always been the most important. I think it'll always be the most important. I don't think there's any way around it. And I think that as Muslims, what really granted us any form of success in our past was it. And what we are suffering from today is the lack of it. And if we hope to be successful and prosperous yet again, the only gate we can walk through towards success is through it. So I think there's no other way around talking about it and taking the time to understand what the importance of education, of knowledge. There is nothing that comes even remotely close. Wallahi, not even remotely close to the value of knowledge within Islam. out of all of the different principles, all the different values, all the things the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam talked about, explained, knowledge, seeking knowledge, and the value of knowledge, of ilm, it just outweighs everything. Everything else is a long drop, second or third, to the importance of this one concept of seeking knowledge, of education. An ummah that is ignorant will go nowhere, because ignorance brings no khayr at all. There is no good to result from ignorance in any form. You can take ignorance and you can mix it with anything, and that thing will fail. It's amazing. Ignorance is so useful as a tool. It's one of the most useful tools in the world, because nothing works with it. It's amazing. It's one of the most amazing things in the world. Take anything, anything you want. Money, power, status, numbers, faith, even science, and just mix ignorance with it and it'll fail. It'll completely bomb. Just give it time. Just mix ignorance and walk away. Go have a coffee for a couple of hundred years. Come back. It'll all be gone. Everything will burn to the ground, because ignorance brings no... That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to call the period before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wanted to give it a name, out of all the names he could have given it, I personally would have chosen the shirki time. It made more sense to me. They were mushrikeen. They were worshipping pieces of rock. Shirk is the time He called it jahiliyyah, from jahil, from ignorance. It's the one thing in the Quran, or one of the few things in the Quran, that there's nothing positive to say about it, ever. Jahil is, there's nothing good to say about jahil, or jahileen, at all. Take the word, follow it throughout the Mus'haf. Find one positive thing. It's impossible. It is always looked at negatively. It's always chastised. The fingers in the Quran are always pointing at it as the source of evil. It's the source of every evil. And because of that, our ummah was built on the concept of Iqra. That's what it was built upon. That was the foundation. That's the fundamental principle of Islam. It's Iqra, read. It doesn't necessarily mean to read the written text. That is tilawa. Read is a word that is much more profound and much more broad than just reciting the written text. Read is your ability to analyze, to observe, to gather information, to benefit from the experience of those before you, to take all of that and to process it in a way that allows you to move forward in a positive manner. That's what Iqra means. If you follow the word in Arabic, you'll find that they would use it towards situations, circumstances, meaning they would say, read the circumstance, Iqra, this circumstance. Well, how do I read it if it's not written? Because that's not what read meant to begin with. What read meant was for you to analyze it. Our lives are a very rich book for us to be reading. Aside from the fact that we're writing that book, reading it is more important. Because the only way you can make sure that your next step will be better than your last step is by reading what happened before, by analyzing it, by looking in depth. If we don't have that critical thinking skill set, then we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to stay exactly where we are. No, that's false. We will continue to regress backwards year after year after year. Out of the signs of the Day of Judgment, this topic is so easy to talk about within Islam because you have so much material. One of the signs of the Day of Judgment that we can actually do something about. There's a lot of signs of the Day of Judgment we can't change. I can't do anything about the sun coming out from the west. I have no control over that. I can't make a difference with Juj. I can't touch these things. But there are a few things that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam pointed out for us, that the Quran pointed out for us regarding the Day of Judgment. Bringing it near is jahl. As he say, alayhi salam, yurfa'u al-ilm biqabd al-ulama. Knowledge will be removed by removing scholars. Scholars are not going to live forever. He knew that, alayhi salatu wasalam. He wasn't telling us something that he... But he's talking about scholars that no one sought their knowledge and no one had that was carrying it after them. So a scholar that passed away left no one. No one after this person is capable of talking about these topics at the same level of proficiency as that scholar before him was able to. That's how the Day of Judgment comes closer. So we actually have a tool of pushing Yawm al-Qiyamah farther down the road, which is what we're supposed to be doing, because the day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath is the day where we lose our ability to repent. There's no chances anymore. It's done. So how do you push that down? You continue to spread knowledge. You continue to educate. And this is what we need to focus on. This is what we have to do. We have to learn Islam, all of us. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter male or female. Doesn't matter whether you speak Arabic or not. None of that matters. Everyone, each and every Muslim, it's obligatory upon them to learn and to educate themselves from an Islamic perspective. I gave similar khutbahs about this topic in other parts of the world, where I had to spend a lot of time emphasizing the importance of staying in school, of learning everything. When we talk about learn, and so we talk about education, I'm actually talking about all forms of education. I'm talking about learning everything. I'm not just talking about learning Islamic law. I'm not just talking about learning the Quran and the Sunnah. No, I'm talking about learning everything. But because as a community here in the West, to be frank, we do very well on the front of academic education. Most people stay in school. Most people go to college or university. They pick up a reasonable secondary education. Most people have higher education. Most people do. And if they don't, they make sure their kids do. So that's something that I see is very widespread. I came from a part of the world that wasn't the case. It was a struggle to keep kids in school after grade 9. It was a struggle. Meaning we only had 15%. You understand that? 15% of the children of the Shabab in my village stayed in school. I didn't have a statistic on the girls. It was way less than that. I didn't even have a statistic on the girl. On the boys, we were able to do it. The school would offer it to us. 15%. That's pathetic. Trying to keep kids in school so they learn, so they go and they become doctors or engineers or teachers or accountants or whatever it is, whatever in education, whatever it is they want to do, but they learn. That's not the problem here. The problem here is actually a different type. It's learning Islam. It's learning the deen. It's actually taking time to understand your faith, to understand what it is that you believe in, to understand what that book is actually explaining, to know what that means to you, to know how that's supposed to reflect upon you. This piece is what's missing here today. Most of us make sure that if we didn't do it, that our children do it. They go to school and they learn. Alhamdulillah, that's a barakah. Maybe there's a problem going on that I'm not aware of, but I'm not seeing that. What I'm seeing is the lack of talab ilm, of actual Islamic education seeking. I'm going to end the first khutbah with this story. You see, Abu Hanifa, the known scholar, when he was in his early 20s, or late teens, he worked as a merchant. He was very successful. And he tells us the story of when he started seeking knowledge. I love this story because I think it shows you an importance of the concept. He was walking by Imam al-Sha'bi, radiallahu anhu rahimahullah, min al-Tabi'een, from the great Tabi'een. He walks by him, so he calls upon him, and he tells him, إِلَى مَنْ تَخْتَلِفْ. So this is a question in Arabic. The wording can mean different things. I mean, where do you spend your time? Where do you go and deal with things? So Abu Hanifa is thinking of buying and selling. Sha'bi had a different thought. فَقَالَ أَخْتَلِفُ إِلَى السُّوقِ. He said, I told him I go to this market, that's where I do. لَيْسَ عَنْ هَذَا أَسْأَلُكَ. I'm not asking you about it. إِلَى مَنْ تَخْتَلِفُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Who is it that you go to and you spend time with scholars? I mean, who are the scholars that you go and learn from? فَقَالَ مَا لَا أَخْتَلِفُ إِلَى أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. I don't go to any of them. فَقَالَ الشَّعْبِيُّ وَيْحَكْ. Be careful. فَإِنِّي أَرَى فِيكَ يَقَظَةً وَحَرَكَةً عَلَيْكَ أَن تَخْتَلِفَ إِلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ. I see you to be someone who has intellect. You need to go and you need to learn from scholars. And then I walked away. Abu Hanifa said, and those words stuck with me. And it's only then that I start to go and I start to search, okay, how is it that I'm going to learn? Who is it that I'm going to learn from? What is it that I'm going to learn? It's a long story that he tells of how it took him a while to find the scholars and to find the discipline that he was going to learn. And then he spent the next 20 or plus years learning. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us that the prophets of God, the messengers of God, they did not leave any form of inheritance. There's nothing to inherit from a prophet. You can't inherit a house or a boat or money or a piece of land. All they left, their legacy, their inheritance is knowledge. وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ That's what he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. They left us the inheritance of knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ Those of us who understand the value of the knowledge that was left, that they left behind them, are those who take the greatest share of all. The greatest share of all. In the same hadith, عليه الصلاة والسلام tells us that the advantage of a learned person, of a scholar, of someone who has knowledge over someone who worships without knowledge is like the advantage of the moon over all the other stars in the sky in terms of its beauty in our eyes. That everything, the malaika in the skies and the whales in the ocean, continue to make dua and make istighfar for the person who goes out seeking knowledge. Why? Because they know what's valuable. You see, those creatures who have an understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes a little bit better than us, who have an understanding of the world and existence a little bit more profound than we do, they know what's worth and what's not. They know what's valuable and what doesn't matter at all. They know that possessions are just an illusion, because whatever you own today, someone owned before you and someone's going to own after you. So all the stuff that you enjoy owning, all of your possessions that you think are amazing, they're not really yours. You're going to leave them behind you, and someone else is going to pick them up. I know it's a very hard concept for human beings to wrap their heads around, but it's very real. Nothing you have is yours. I want you to go home today and stand in front of your house and enjoy how your house looks and say, this is my house. And then it's not. Someone lived there before you. And if you built it, I guarantee you someone will live there after you're gone. And they'll come home and say, my house. And then you'll be like, no, it's not. And if it was mine, I said that too, and it's not mine. It's not anybody's. See, this whole thing is owned by God Himself. We don't really own anything. The only value that will stay with you is knowledge. One of my teachers used to say that what he looks forward to in Jannah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the blessing of being there, say Ameen, inshallah, is knowledge, is the access that he'll have to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn. For there not to be things that you don't understand. Anything that you would like to know, you can know. Any event that occurred you want to understand, you can understand. Any element of creation that doesn't make sense to you, you can make sense of because you have access to the knowledge. I always thought that was interesting. But that is actually, because there is no high that is more beautiful for the human soul than learning. It trumps all other highs that you can enjoy. Food, sex, no. It's knowledge, it's learning. It's coming to a realization of something that you did not understand before. A profound acknowledgement. That is what brings happiness to the soul. Nothing comes nearly, even remotely close to it. And that's why I think, as a community, we have to invest in our education. I'm going to give 5 points, inshallah, or a couple of points after in the second khutbah to kind of better detail that. But this point, the goal of this first piece was just to really explain that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant for us to be. This is what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left us in terms of his legacy. He left us knowledge. This is how the ummah was successful before. It was through ilm. It was an ummah of ulama, of scholars, people who knew everything. People who studied astronomy and botany just like they studied fiqh and hadith. They understood these things in depth and they made sure that their children did too. And that ummah became an ummah that ruled the world for a millennium. Where we are right now is the direct effect of losing that. We've lost our knowledge. We don't seek it anymore. We don't care for it anymore. We're not spending the time to learn it, and we're not making sure that we're not doing that. And until we do, we're going to continue to basically struggle in the mud. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده إخواني وأخواتي الذين يتحدثون اللغة العربية الجميلة لا حاجة لي في إطالة الكلام عن أهمية العلم وطلب العلم إذ لا مسلم عربي إلا ويفقه أهمية هذا الأمر، سواء سعى في طلبه أم لم يسعى في طلبه. المسلم العربي يدرك تمام الإدراك أن الذي أودى بنا إلى حالنا اليوم كأمة هو فشو الجهل بيننا، وأن الذي نهض بنا أيام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وفي العصر الذهبي للمسلمين كان العلم، والذي سيعيدنا إلى مقدمة الأمم هو العلم، ولا سبيل إلى النهضة دون العلم. ولو جمعت ما جمعت، ولو حشدت كل ما عندك دون العلم، لن يتحرك لهذه الأمة ساكن واحد، ولن يتغير في حالها شيء واحد إلا بالعلم، وبطلب العلم، وباحترام العلم، وباحترام أهله. فإن لم تكن متعلما أنت، فاحرص على تعليم أولادك، واحرص على أن يكونوا من العلماء. وهذا هذا طموح ليس بالعالي، هذا طموح طبيعي. كل مسلم عليه أن يطمح إلى تعليم نفسه وتعليم ذريته ومعرفة مراد الله منه. تعلم علوم الكون مع علوم الشريعة أمر واحد، هذا أمر واحد. ما فرق المسلمون الأوائل، السلف ما فرقوا بين علم النبات وعلم الفقه، ما فرقوا، كل هذا علم. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء، الخشية تكون فقط للعالم الذي عرف الله وعرف صنيع الله وعرف خبرة الله سبحان الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا الذي أضعه بين أيديكم العلم. كثير منكم مثلي أتى من بلدان بعيدة يهرب من اضطهاد أو من ظلم وقع عليه، أتيت إلى بلاد مملوءة علما، أتيتم إلى بلدان كلها علم. فاحرص على أن تتعلم، واحرص على أن يتعلموا أولادك، ولا ترضى إلا أن يكونوا علماء عاملين، واحشد في ذلك ما عندك من مال ووقت وجهد في سبيل تحقيق ذلك. هذا هو استثمارك في مستقبل أمة محمد صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Here are the points I want to share with you. Education, the point of this place for me is education. I need a place to teach where I could sit and I can teach every day to different groups and different ages and different demographics, because that's what's missing. What's missing is the knowledge. People don't understand their deen properly. And because they don't, they get uptight about things that they shouldn't, and they basically neglect things that are extremely important, and we fight over things that don't mean anything, and we don't spend time focusing on actions that we should, because we don't know what's important, what's not, because there's lack of knowledge, there's lack of priorities, and that's what we can change. You invest in one generation, and that changes, and suddenly the ummah stops fighting over trivial stuff. We stop wasting energy on differences, on things that don't matter, and we actually start focusing on what does. And people are much more comfortable with their deen, with themselves, and with their community, and they're able to actually build plans and make change because they have knowledge. There's no sharr with knowledge. There's nothing bad that comes with it. We need to offer authentic narratives for modern issues. Authentic narratives. Narratives meaning, narratives are worldviews. When something's happening in front of you that's contemporary, that maybe didn't happen before, or maybe it did happen before, but it's coming in a different jacket, or it's dressed a little bit differently, has a different hat on, so it doesn't look the same as it did maybe 1,000 years ago. We need to have very authentic and clear and appropriate narratives so that Muslims have an opinion that is uniformal or is majority agree upon in a major way or a majority perspective, so that they're not struggling with what they're seeing. When you go through the world and you're faced with things that you don't have within your culture, it's not a part of your faith, it's not a part of your community, you need to have a perspective. That perspective comes through a narrative, meaning a way to understand it, dissect it, and an opinion about it and how to deal with it. That's what we need. We are faced with a lot of things that are outside of the realm of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us we should or should not do. And people are practicing it. Well, how do I deal with it? Well, you need to have an opinion on it. You need to have an understanding of it. And then you need to be able to actually articulate that. And then you need to know what to do regarding it around you and how it's affecting you. That is what a narrative is. We don't have those. We haven't developed them yet. That's partially our fault. That's partially my fault and people who in my position. It's very difficult to do that. It's very difficult because there's lack of knowledge in the community. Because when there's lack of knowledge, funny enough, Offering knowledge that means something doesn't always work, because you need the recipient to also have a level of knowledge to understand what you're saying. You need the people in front of you to have a level of knowledge, a basic level, to actually comprehend what it is that you're trying to explain to them. Or else you end up saying things and no one's comprehending, and people just, no one benefits from it. So you actually have, before you can offer narratives that mean something, you have to increase the basic level of knowledge within the community, so that when you offer a narrative, people can actually benefit from it. The second piece. There has to be a focus within the educational investment that we do on two things. On istiqama, which is ethics, which is learning not to be corrupt, which is knowing what corruption means and how ethics can be corrupted and how to make sure that we don't allow for that. Because knowledge that does not lead into a strong ethical compass is not knowledge that is beneficial. It has to be focused on al-sirat al-mustaqim. It has to be focused on us being able to walk a path of righteousness, a path of incorruptibility, of istiqama. And it has to be based on learning iman. You have to learn. Iman is something that you learn. It's not something that you declare. It's not something that you're born with. You have to learn it. Like everything else, you have to learn to understand Allah, to know who Allah is, what He's asked of you, where you fit in this big puzzle, and what it is you're going to do. That's what iman is. People who don't understand iman or enjoy it are those who fall off the Islamic spectrum. They fall off because they never enjoyed it, never understood it. They just memorized a few surahs of the Quran and they learned how to pray, but they never, ever, unfortunately, embraced the concept of iman into their hearts, and that's a missing piece that we have to make sure we bring forward. Point after that, there has to be an emphasis on tazkiyah. There has to be an emphasis on taking care of yourself, on understanding yourself, understanding your whims and your desires and the diseases of the heart, and how to actually worship Allah internally. Because externally, just all it takes is one or two sessions, and you learn how to stand towards the Qibla, make wudu, you know how to make takbir and recite Surah Al-Fatiha. It's not that hard to learn to pray appropriately. It doesn't take that much, even though we definitely have to invest in learning how to do it, but that's easy. What's difficult is making sure that some hudur with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's some focus in your prayer, that you have some degree of khushu', that you are actually ridding yourself of vanity and arrogance and envy and ostentation. And if you're not doing that, then your prayer is not going to help you. So we have to emphasize the importance of tazkiyah. People sometimes spend 20, 30 years learning Islam, and this is never talked about. And they don't even know what's happening on the inside. And shaitan finds it's a ball field for him. He can do whatever he wants. The person that they're inside, he has no idea. No idea that maybe the motivations behind what they're doing are not pure. That maybe the thoughts that they're thinking are not appropriate. And then we allow for corruption. The point after that, we need a reformative approach. A reformative approach. Islam that does not come with the intention of bringing reform to any society is Islam that is not really Islam. See oppressors all across the world, tyrants. They're okay with the scholars in Islam as long as they're quiet. As long as they won't cause any issues. As long as they won't go against anything that's happening. As long as they'll just focus on, celebrations and some nasheed and, you know, maybe learning basics, little nice stuff that are mystic in nature. But don't talk about what needs to change. Don't talk about what needs to actually occur in order for this society. Don't talk about oppression. Don't talk about ignorance, for example. Don't talk about corruption. Don't talk about these things. As long as you don't talk about these things, they love you. They love you. By the way, different Muslim sects across the world, they differ on everything. But when it comes to this, they don't differ. Many of them will just, whatever the person with the biggest gun says, that's what we'll do. We don't have that problem here. There is no reason for us not to have a reformative approach to Islam, where we look at our own society, our own community, and the larger society, and say, this should change. How do we make these changes? But that requires a proper amount of education. But that's how Islam has to be learned. Islam was a social movement. It came and it made a difference. The Prophet came to the Arab. They were one way. By the time he passed away, they were a completely different group of people with different principles and different values and different practices, because he brought reform, and that's what he taught. And we have to do the same. Point after that, parallel learning. This is what I believe in. This is how I learned Islam. I learned Islam through parallel learning. I learned it all my life. From maybe 6 years old till today, you learn as you go through life. You don't need to take a year or two or three off. That concept to me is foreign. None of my teachers were like that. Yet the other day, I talked about one of my teachers who passed away, Sheikh Mohammed Ubaid. He was 87, 88 years old. He passed away in Damascus. I forgot to say, he was a pharmacist. He was a pharmacist and he had a pharmacy. He retired, obviously, 25 years ago, but he was a pharmacist. All of my teachers were people who had professions, either accountants, doctors, lawyers, or engineers, all of them. And if they didn't have a profession that was based in an academic, they had a craft that they had inherited from their forefathers. One of them worked with copper. His last name was Nahas, which is someone who deals with copper. That's what he did. He had this huge place, and he imported copper and made things out of copper. When he came for Salah, he was all covered in copper. He would put the burda on after wudu, put the imamah. He went from the guy who sold copper to the imam of the masjid very quickly. It's parallel learning. You have time. You have time. You have time to go through life, whether as a student in high school or university or a young professional or a young parent, and learn. You don't believe me? Ask your iPhone. Just ask your iPhone. It'll tell you if you have time or not. Just ask your iPhone, how much time do I spend a day staring at you? And it'll tell you. And I can tell you, I just want a fraction of that time. I don't want the whole time. Just give me an hour. Not even a day. Not even a day. Wallahi, not even a day. You can learn Islam if you just invest maybe a couple of hours a week. Consistently over a long period of time, you'll learn. The bursts of knowledge don't help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it. He likes the consistency. You do parallel learning, which is what the Imam Development Academy that we have in this center actually helps with. You can take courses. By the way, the registration, especially for the younger brothers and sisters here, everyone's welcome, older or younger, but especially for those who are in high school and university, young professionals, the registration link is still open. We're open until May 31st. There's a lot of different courses being offered. Every semester, there's new courses being offered. Some of them are in person. Some of them are online. Learn. Attend and learn. And you have access to the people who are teaching, so you're not learning from someone who's far away who you can't actually go speak to. You have access to the people who are teaching so you can learn more and you can ask questions. It's important to do these things. It's important that we have a plan of proper education. Parallel learning is how I learned. I spent most of my life doing both. Learning. I went to medical school and I went to Sharia school. Not a problem. Yes, it was busy, but you can do it if you want to. If you prioritize ilm in your life, then it's not going to be an issue for you to do so. And all great scholars of Islam did that as well. The final point, when it comes to schools, when it comes to academies, and it comes to programs, this is where we have to make sure that we're spending most of our effort, time, money, and energy as a Muslim community. We have to put a lot of time into that, in education, for different backgrounds, different demographics, and different groups. Our investment should be in that. We have not, till this day, had proper discussions on higher levels regarding Islamic schools. We only have two in the city. Even if they are amazing and huge, they can only take maybe 3% of the Muslim youth. We are a very youthful community, very youthful. Go to the Vic Emerge for the Children and look at the percentage of broken hands and legs that are Muslims. We have a lot of youth. Two schools and three and four won't work. We may need more, but we are going to need a better approach to the academic nature of this society, of the educational boards and what they're teaching and where we fall into that and how we are going to be supported and how our vision and our values are going to also be taught. We need after-school programs that we can bring kids to so they can learn Islam parallel to learning everything else. This is where we have to spend our time and money. And this is what you as a Muslim and a community member need to push the organizations and institutions to do. That is what your message has to be. Teach us. Bring us people who can teach. Bring us teachers, people who know how to explain things, people who understand things appropriately, have a narrative that is healthy, not a narrative that is, again, a problematic, a healthy narrative, a healthy understanding of Islam, and is willing to invest their time in teaching. And when you do that, one generation, they learn, and then it just perpetuates. And you don't need to import anything, and you don't need to, because you already have a basis. That's what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. He passed away after 23 years, but he left scholars behind him, people who made sure we know Islam today the way they did. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. I hope that was a benefit for you. We have a lost and found thing outside on your way out. If you've lost anything in the masjid, we have a lot of things that were lost and just left here. So if you've lost something or you know someone who has, just take a look at the lost and found, please, on your way out, please, and just take if something is yours. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن زوجاته أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين واقض الدين عن المدينين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين وارحم أمواتنا وأموات المسلمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا وعن أهلنا في فلسطين ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة